great passages from which to discuss and think about our faith this morning. I'm going to be looking more at the Romans passage. But I want to start with a quotation. This is from a fellow named Samuel Chadwick. He was a Methodist minister back in the mid-1800s in England. I had never heard of him, but I liked this quote. He said, "Passion does not compensate for ignorance. Passion does not compensate for ignorance." Well, if we're honest with ourselves, I think there are times in our lives we can resonate with that, where we've been so engrossed with an idea, or engrossed perhaps with a person or an institution or an organization, that despite our passion or sincerity, we kind of traveled in the wrong direction. That our passion didn't compensate for our ignorance. And if we think long enough about it, we could probably come up with a list where we've done that. We've been so passionate about something, and yet we didn't probably think it through. And there are so many rabbit holes which we could go down as illustrative to this that we won't take the time for. And right off the top, I suspect many of you are thinking about the political climate in which we live. Well, the good news is we're not going to talk about that. But it's easy to think about, regardless of where you stand, on whatever side of the aisle, however you identify yourself, that often passion does not compensate for ignorance. Passion often sprouts from, or is the catalyst for, the ways we identify ourselves. So passion often sprouts from the way we identify ourselves, or it's a catalyst, the passion we have, so that we begin to identify ourselves with something. So, for instance, lots of easy examples here. We're about to hit football season. The people who identify, you know, as Crimson Tide fans or Volunteer fans or Longhorn fans, Commodores, right? And there's passion, even if you're a Commodores fan. Gators. I see a gator over here, too. Hey, they want to be included. See? There's passion. There's passion. They want to be. And there is, right? So, and that passion is a way that we identify ourselves. I know it seems superficial, although it gets pretty deep for some people, but it is a place where we identify ourselves. Growing up in Southwest Texas, back in the 80s, this was so true of the little town I grew up in. And this is when the only pickup trucks worth having were either Ford or Chevrolet. Dodge was not on the scene at this point. The Rams were nowhere. You either drove a Ford or you drove a Chevy. And it was generational. And I'm telling you, people identified themselves. Ford drivers rarely even wanted to talk to people who drove Chevrolets, because they were such crummy trucks, and vice versa. You knew families by the trucks they drove generationally. The grandfather drove a Ford, the father drove a Ford, bless God, the son's gonna drive a Ford, and so on, the grandson. And it seems ridiculous, but it was an identity point for families, and they had passion about those things. Even in our atmosphere here, it was interesting, 7 or 8 years ago now, when I left St. George's the first time to become the rector of St. Paul's in Edenton, during my interview process, they had a representative from the choir. And what they knew about me is that I had started the table service here. And they were scared to death that I was going to come into that traditional church and turn it into a contemporary hootenanny, right? Because it wasn't their identity. They had nothing to fear, but they didn't know me. And so for the last 7 years before I came back, we just worshiped in a traditional style, which I do love. Coming back to St. George's, the search committee had members on it who were worried that I would come back and make the identity of St. George's the table again and ignore the nave. And they're legitimate questions because I helped start this service. But I was like, you got nothing to fear. I can worship either way. But there was real passion around it, around those questions and people's identity and how they worshiped. So I'm just trying to set the stage here that often we put our identities in things that we're passionate about. Even denominationally within our faith and other religions, you can see this begin to play itself out, the way that we categorize ourselves. So if we believe that that's true, there is a foundational tenet within our faith, within the good news, and that is that the reality of things is that we, you and I, have been included in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and that is our identity. That is our identity. Paul, in his epistles, will use language where he says, you're in Christ, and he repeats saying that you're in Christ over and over and over. What's he doing? He's reminding us, your identity is this, you are in Christ. Jesus will use unity language as well. I'm in you, you in me, same thing. Your identity is that we're abiding together. You are in me, and I am in you. And the problem arises for us often in our faith is when secondary or perhaps passionate areas of our lives overtake our primary identity. And that's what I wanted to talk a bit about today is this Romans passage. It says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Secondary identities of being Jew or Greek, these ways we categorize ourselves. Paul's saying, you are in Christ. Those things begin to melt away. And he says it here in Romans, but listen. He wrote a lot of the New Testament from in his letter to the Corinthians, his first letter. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we have been made to drink from one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. His letter to the Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There are no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Colossians, he's saying it to everybody he's writing to. You've clothed yourselves with a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. And in that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Paul's going to great lengths to underscore and bring home that message about identity, that our identity is an identity in Christ, and all of these other things in which we categorize ourselves, they begin to fade away. Several years ago, I preached a sermon, and the title of the sermon was The Hardest Thing in the World to Do. The hardest thing in the world to do, I think, is to not judge yourself and others. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, is not judge yourself and others. But you know what? We have grown up in a world of boxes. Us and them, in or out, worthy or unworthy, saved or unsaved. The sports stuff I just went through, Ford and Chevy, blue or red. And when we categorize each other, it means I don't have to deal with you anymore. I've already painted the picture of who you are. I am maybe someone who stands on this side of the line and you stand over here, and if I put you in a box and use that identity, that secondary identity is who you are, I don't have to invest in any relationship with you any longer. I can keep you in that box. And this is one of the things I think Paul is trying to help us out with. We are one in Christ. And as we let those secondary identities take the forefront, it begins divisions. And it begins splintering. And the body of Christ then is not a particularly good image to the rest of the world, because we look just like the rest of the world, who is categorizing and stereotyping and keeping each other at distance and discounting and marginalizing. And yet we've forgotten that our primary identity is in Christ. Doesn't mean we're always going to agree or see things eye to eye. As Paul said in that Corinthians passage, you'll remember this. He uses the image of a body. He said, not everybody is an ear or an eye. We are different, but we are members of one body. That's the primary identity. Well, I wanted to speak a bit about this because in the climate in which we live, I know I need to be reminded of my primary identity. Because it is easy for me, bombarded by all of the compartmentalization of identities. I'm somebody, you know, who's over here, and I don't trust those people who are over there. It's easy to bivouac in those places. But yet we're called to something greater than that. Let me conclude with the beginning of this Romans passage. You can see it in your bulletin. The first verse. Brothers and sisters, and this goes back to my opening quotation, passion does not compensate for ignorance, Samuel Chadwick. So keeping that in mind, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, and this is Israel, is that they may be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal, a passion for God, but it is not enlightened. Passion does not compensate for ignorance. They're fired up about who they think God is, but they don't know. They don't know who He is. And we can follow in those same footsteps. I love the song that we just sang. God is a good God. The first song we sang about walking humbly, that He loves mercy. That's our God. And when we start representing a God that does not fit that category, we have a passion, but it's not enlightened. It's not enlightened. It's one of the fundamental reasons that we gather as a community of faith. It's to be reminded of our identity and create a safe space that, because we're all on this journey trying to figure this thing out together, that we can have those conversations and begin to understand one another, because our histories are different. We're, the way you've grown up in the faith looks different than mine. But if I automatically shut you down because it was different or doesn't measure up to mine, or maybe you were a Baptist and, you know, I grew up thinking Baptists were, well, I won't say. But that's it exactly. Passion does not compensate for ignorance. So we're here to learn. That's discipleship. About our identity and our inclusion in the good God who doesn't distinguish us as Jew or Greek, male or female. Secondary identities, all subsumed within the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.